This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Julian of Norwich is considered to be the first woman who wrote a book in English. Her text documents a vision of God that came to her on what she thought was her deathbed. She saw the oneness of God and humanity, and the vision stressed a message of equality of all people. And that was a vision at odds with the Catholic Church's teaching at the time that enforced a strict hierarchy and rigid duality separating God from creation and good from evil. Julian of Norwich's message resonated deeply with Duke professor Amy Laura Hall. For the past 20 years, Amy Laura has taught and studied Julian of Norwich's writings and continually finds a way to connect Julian's teachings to modern-day life. Amy Laura is a professor of Christian ethics at Duke Divinity School. Her book is called Laughing at the Devil, Seeing the World with Julian of Norwich. Amy Laura, welcome to State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here, Frank.
Laughing at the Devil. This book is funny. You're writing about a Christian mystic, and it's full of joy and humor, as apparently the writings, at least, of Julian of Norwich were.
Oh, I'm grateful that you found points of laughter in the book. Absolutely.
Yeah. Tell me more about her, because what do we know? I know that, you know, she's celebrated sometimes, you know, sort of in New Age circles and in other in religious and particularly progressive religious circles as this kind of deep Christian mystic and almost sanctified, although she's not yet a saint.
Not officially in the Catholic Church.
So she is a Catholic. Give us a little of the biography.
Okay, so Julian, what we know about her is that she had these visions and that she wrote a short text first.
One moment, 13th, 14th, she straddles the 13th and 14th century.
14th to 15th.
14th and
15th. 14th to 15th, yes. And so, and she eventually became a resident in a very busy port city church called St. Julian's Church. And so she became known as Julian of Norwich. That's how we know her, because of her association with that church in Norwich, England. And we know that she received these visions and then wrote a short text. And over what we're not exactly sure how long, but for some amount of time, she thought and considered and prayed. And then eventually we have then her long text. And both of the texts together would fit in your coat pocket. So they are in a handy Penguin edition, translated by Elizabeth Spearing, that's very useful with all sorts of notes.
So give us an idea of her. What was in this vision? What was she writing?
So she receives a vision of Jesus Christ, of Christ wanting, of kinning us, of making us kin through Jesus's blood. And it's remarkable for her sense that everyone is of the same blood. If you think about it, still to this day, if you make a reservation on British Airways, you have the opportunity to give yourself a title. So the hierarchy at this time was very clear that there was a sense that there were different types of blood. And she receives a vision of God wanting us, at wanting or kinning us, making us family. And the word that is risky to use because it's very controversial, but that I think is just true, is Julian has a vision of God that is cozy. God becomes kin to us in Jesus in a way that she uses the word familiar repeatedly. God has become familiar to us. And this, I think, can continue to counter a religion of austerity and fear today.
Well, it does it today, but let's talk about it, and I want to get to that.
Yes.
But in her context, getting back to the sort of the bloodlines and the way British aristocracy worked, and Catholic theology, this was heresy. Catholic theology was very clear, was it not, that there was God in heaven, A, then we have a pope, then there's the divine right of kings who are divinely inspired and chartered by God to rule over the people, and those people then have their place in the kingdom of God. This is Catholic. I mean, again, I want to stress this because we kind of think that we're all one today, and that's sort of what Christianity should be all about, though sadly not always. But back then, the Catholic, it was not the theology. In fact, it was quite the opposite, right?
Yes.
Did I oversimplify?
Well, this is tricky. I mean, the period during which she's writing, the period during which she's receiving her visions and that she's writing her texts is complicated. But yes, I think it is fair to say that the kenning, the familiarity with which she writes about God is very different than the distant God that is going to judge you ultimately and declare you a sheep or a goat.
Yeah.
And it's that imagery of a God who is just waiting to drop you into a fiery furnace is the opposite.
Yeah.
She receives what I call a vision of omni-amity. I make up a word. I created a word to try to describe what I think that Julian saw, and that is a vision. The question was not about God's all-knowingness or God's
all-power.
It wasn't about omniscience or omnipotence. The question she was asking was about God's love, and she ultimately discerns that God has given her a vision of all love, that God is all love.
And that evil, while not a desirable thing, and while a thing, is not the fearsome thing that again, the church had more or less, or church teaching and culture had created. Maybe I'll ask you to read for us, to give us a sense of her understanding of evil and the devil in her writings now.
Yes, so this is Elizabeth Spearing's translation from the Middle English. I also saw our Lord scorn the devil's wickedness and set him at naught, meaning zero. And he wants us to do the same. At this revelation, I laughed heartily, and that made those who were around me laugh too. And their laughter pleased me. I wished that my fellow Christians had seen what I saw, and then they would all have laughed with me. But I did not see Christ laughing. Nevertheless, it pleased him that we should laugh to cheer ourselves and rejoice in God because the fiend has been conquered.
Amy Laura Hall reading a passage from Revelations of Divine Love, considered to be the first book written by a woman in English, that woman now known as Julian of Norwich. And the book that Amy Laura has written, is called Laughing at the Devil. We're talking about something that has to be at least bordering on heresy at the time. Who's reading this? What is, in terms of her contemporaries, is she in trouble with the church? Is she being taken seriously? What's happening with her?
Well, we don't know. We don't know. We have scant evidence. There's all sorts of conjecture, but we don't know. What we do know is what I would think of really as a miracle as remarkable as a hummingbird, is that her texts did remain, that people were reading her words sufficiently, at least that we now have her words today.
You said she was a resident at this church, the St. Julian in Norwich, a busy port city.
Yes.
So it's a city in
yes.
England, and she's a resident. What does that mean? Who's taking her seriously? She's protected? She's got a position with the church? Do we know?
We know some about that technically she would be called an anchorite or an anchoress. We don't know whether or not she became an anchoress while she was writing the long text or if it was after. We don't know exactly
the
timing.
Would that have been a kind of an ecclesiastical, that's a clerical position? That's something that you get sort of, you have to make a vow and
yes.
You wear a habit?
No. Not necessarily. I mean, women who lay women would have worn what we would think of as perhaps a coif at this time, but yeah, it's so. Sometimes people characterize her as being reclusive, but that's not actually. That doesn't really make sense, given that her window for her anchor hold looked out on a very busy city.
And people came to see her.
Yes, we do have a sense from the historical record that people came to consult with her.
Yeah.
I liked that one of the things, the images I have of her, is that if you walk into many different congregations, the church secretary will know everybody's business. And I think it's a good corrective to think of Julian more as a church secretary than as a recluse.
All right. And again, taking her seriously. So she couldn't be in trouble with the church in the sense that she was given a position there, allowed to see people and allowed to talk. And these writings were actually published. And you suggest perhaps the first woman to write a book in the English language. And so and they survive today. Could I ask you to read another passage
for
us?
Sure. Absolutely. A passage from her text.
From her text. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. So this is again from the Penguin Edition, Elizabeth Spearing's translation. Though the three persons of the Trinity are all equal in themselves, my soul understood love most clearly. Yes, and God wants us to consider and enjoy love in everything. And this is the knowledge of which we are most ignorant. For some of us believe that God is almighty and has power to do everything, and that God has wisdom and knows how to do everything, but that God is all love and is willing to do everything, there we stop.
Amy Laura Hall, that's a passage from Revelations of Divine Love. That was a book that it was written by Julian of Norwich. It is contained in Amy Laura's new book, Laughing at the Devil, Seeing the World with Julian of Norwich. Amy Laura will read from her book at the Regulator Bookshop in Durham on September 11th. Of course, we have that information at our website, stateofthings.org. How did you become interested in Julian?
So this is quite a story, and it disappoints people who admire her greatly. And I, in 1999, came to teach at Duke Divinity School and was assigned the task of teaching an Introduction to Christian Ethics course. I looked at my syllabus, and I did not have one single woman on the syllabus. Says something about my education at Yale, I suppose. Whatever. It was embarrassing. It's embarrassing
for me to admit. Say something about the history of Christianity, but go ahead.
It's true. Who's considered, which theologians have gravitas. So I asked around, who should I assign? I need to assign a woman from the tradition. And someone, I can't remember who, said to me, you should assign Julian of Norwich. And I said, who? And they said, oh, you know her. She wrote, all shall be well, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. And I thought, no way am I assigning such a stupid text. That's ridiculous. That's like, so not true. I mean, the two previous segments just today on your show, I mean, no, all is not well. She sounded completely stupid to me. Somebody suggested I read a text about the historical period alongside her text. And when I read Frederick Bauerschmidt's book about this time period, it helped me see the radical nature of what she had seen, to declare that all would be well at a time when people in the peasant class are being mown down like mice.
This is the plague is in full.
And all, okay, so she was probably around 8 years old when the Great Plague came through England. But there were recurrences of the plague during her lifetime. And one of the details of the period that is maybe very particular to this conversation is that people had died unshriven. And that word, when I first came upon it, I did not know what it meant, and I had to look it up. It meant that people had died without receiving the last rites. So not only had people died in this horrific way, but people had died without receiving the last rites. And so by one account of salvation at this time, the prevalent account of salvation at this time, people would have been eternally lost. And her visions, the visions she receives, help her see that God is not going to let anything be lost. There will be a great reclamation of even the tiny things. And that's part of what she receives. And that's the artist who created the cover of my book. I'm like, please judge the book by its cover. Yeah. Please judge my book by its cover. It's just beautifully done. These intricate drawings that I think beautifully illustrate that Julian received a vision in which a mouse is not going to be lost. A sparrow will not be lost. all that is the little ant, the button.
Well, she talks about the whole world being contained in the acorn. And also
hazelnut, yes,
hazelnut, I should say.
Which was as common in England at the time as a piece of popcorn. You could think of it almost as if you saw that God God holds all that is in this point. The word in the Middle English is P-O-Y-N-T-E, which can mean a point in space, but also a point in time, that God is holding all that is in this point that is Jesus's gratuitously given.
But again, this runs afoul of Christian teaching, Catholic teaching at the time, which is that you've got to do something to be saved, right? I mean, you've got to earn God's love, and you better be sure you're on God's right side. If you mess up, you need to atone for all of that. And there's a little bit of this. In fact, we don't have time for the reading now, but she talks about Jesus' blood being sprinkled on all of us, right? I mean, this idea, particularly in light of, do we have time to read that? Maybe we do. I don't know. It would be all we'd have time for. So we don't. But my point is here, both in terms of not having the last rites and her saying in this particular part of the vision, don't worry that the blood has been sprinkled. You've got the last rites.
Not just sprinkled. Poured,
like
water coming. She sees the blood coming unaccountable, like water flowing from the eaves, which anybody in the area might have had some vision of in this last week of rainy weather. Yet it's not just sprinkled, Frank. It's poured out in what I call profligate grace.
And she survived. We're out of time now, but the fact is that she's still relevant today, apparently, because her stuff is still...
I believe so. I need her words.
Yeah, great stuff. Thank you for preserving them and putting them in context. Amy Laura Hall is a professor of Christian ethics at Duke Divinity School. Her new book is called Laughing at the Devil, Seeing the World with Julian Norwich. You know, I've been saying Norwich for like a lot of my life because I discovered her many, many, many years ago. But it is Norwich, turns out. Amy Laura is going to read from the book at the Regulator Bookshop September 11th. Find out more at our website, stateofthings.org. Amy Laura, thank you so much.
Thank you.
State of Things produced by Anita Rao, Laura Pelliser, Dana Terry, and Amanda Magnus. Robin Copley is our technical director. Al Wadarski sitting in today with help from Jenny Lawson. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.